This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Eliminate bags under your eyes in minutes with Instantly Ageless from GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The Emerald City is impeachment, and my colleagues are desperate to get there. They have been desperate since last November when they won the majority.
That's the ranking Republican on the U.S. House Judiciary Committee, which is now meeting on Capitol Hill to discuss impeachment proceedings against President Trump. Congressman Doug Collins says New York Democrat and chairman of the panel, Jerry Nadler, has called this unnecessary hearing, according to Collins, to keep impeachment in the headlines.
The difference between formal impeachment proceedings and what we're doing today is a world apart, no matter what the chairman just said.
Nadler says the investigation will consider allegations of obstruction of justice, self-dealing, and violations of the Emoluments Clause. The Labor Department says around 204,000 Americans filed first-time jobless claims last week, 15,000 fewer than the previous week's revised total. And this is USA Radio News.
I'm at the American Veterinary Medical Association annual convention in Washington, D.C. with Dr. Barbara Natterson Horowitz, evolutionary biologist and physician.
There's a form of fainting that happens when people get stressed because the excitement triggers a slowing of the heart. Why this happened didn't make sense. The heart shouldn't slow down. The heart should speed up when there's fear. But what I've learned by working with veterinarians and learning about how animal hearts work is that young animals, when they are scared, sometimes their heart rates get very, very low, and that causes them to be very still. And when wild animals become very still, it often makes them safer from predators. One possible hypothesis is that slowing of the heart rate in response to fear in our species is actually an evolutionary echo from our vertebrate ancestors, for whom the slowing of the heart was life-saving.
There's more valuable information at avma.org.
President Trump now has to choose a new national security advisor, and a number of names have been floating around. However, his top advisor, Kellyanne Conway, would not comment on reports, including on CNN, that Secretary of State Mike Pompeo may be considered as a dual role, keeping his Secretary of State position while also serving as NSA.
There are many people of diverse backgrounds, all solid candidates. I know firsthand the president is considering for that position.
Anyone that you can name?
No, I won't do that. I've seen names being floated in the press. I think some of those are legitimate.
She was speaking on Fox News. 10 Democratic presidential hopefuls are preparing for a debate tonight in Houston. Former VP Joe Biden will be at center stage, Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren on either side of him. Those on stage met a criteria set by the Democratic National Committee based on polling and fundraising. And this is USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
One of the last remaining survivors of the attack on Pearl Harbor has died. Lauren Bruner passed away this week in California at the age of 98. Bruner was a fire controlman third class on the USS Arizona when Pearl Harbor was attacked by Japan on December 7, 1941, and was one of the last people to leave that sinking battleship. Philanthropist billionaire T. Boone Pickens has also passed away. Pickens died yesterday at the age of 91. Forever 21 refuting a claim that it's filing for bankruptcy. It says it's not planning to file on Sunday, as some reports have claimed. A newly discovered audio tape from back in 1969 shows that the Beatles were planning a follow-up to Abbey Road. The tape was recorded at Apple Records a couple of weeks before the release of that final album, and it features a conversation between Lennon, McCartney, and Harrison about who should write songs for their next album. A Beatles historian says the tape revises the band's history, showing they didn't plan on Abbey Road to be their last album, and that John Lennon did not, in fact, want to break up the band. for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-536-4436. That's 800-536-4436. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-536-4436.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here, 6 minutes after the top of the hour. For more information on the show, you go to BillMartinezLive.com. We're more than 8 second sound bites. What we do here is bring on experts because your time is important. We don't want to waste your time and just have a lot of fluff. Yes, there's some entertainment here because if it's all about the heavy stuff, we're just going to explode our brains here. And we get so heavily focused on politics. There's plenty of that going around. So we kind of weave you in and out through a panoply of options here. Yes, and in our next guest, we're going to talk some policy that has to do with health insurance because that is important. And, you know, clearly it's amongst the top five most, you know, interested things that the body politic is interested in, because we've been looking to the government to say, okay, do you got the answer yet? You know, they gave us the Affordable Care Act, hijacked our health care system, and what did they do? If you remember, it was all about 30 million people, that supposed 30 million. This is what I love, and I want to bring Doug Badger on right now. He's a former White House and U.S. Senate policy advisor. Doug, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Bill. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing terrific. Thank you so much. As I was saying in the intro here, and I want you to bring context to this and clarity, because when we go back and remember when the argument first, or the debate came out about, you know, the Affordable Care Act, that there was supposedly 30 million people that were uncovered and that the Affordable Care Act was going to take care of this problem. Well, constantly during that 8-year painful period, as we exercised and experienced the ACA, I kept asking that question. I go, how many of that 30 million people have we moved the bar and we're covering more of those 30 million people? I couldn't get an answer. And still to this day, I can't get an answer as to all I know is that people who were relying on the ACA and thought it was going to be, you know, this incredible panacea as presented by the former president, it fell way short. And meanwhile, it has caused a disturbance in the force, so to speak, when it comes to health care.
Well, that's right, Bill. I think that's a very good summary. We have had people gain coverage under the Affordable Care Act, as states that have expanded their Medicaid, have put non-disabled, pretty much healthy people onto their Medicaid rolls, and that has reduced the number of uninsured. It's a little under 30 million right now. The Census Bureau issued its report on Tuesday, and it's done pretty well in that area. Unfortunately, in the area that most people think of when they think of the Affordable Care Act, the Obamacare exchanges, the regulations, the tax penalty on the uninsured, all of that, when you add it up and do the math, it's ended up spending a lot of money, but not insuring a whole lot of people. Basically, out of since 2013, the year before Obamacare, we've got about 2 million more people with individual coverage this year than we did in 2013, and that's after spending hundreds of billions of dollars subsidizing people to get individual coverage and penalizing people for not buying it. So it's been a little bit of a flop.
Are you being a bit conservative with that number when you say billions? I mean, are we afraid to say trillions of dollars have been invested in this? And, you know, what do we have to show in terms of return on investment for this? Or do we just not expect an investment, you know, or return?
Well, we're well on our way to the first trillion. Remember, it only took effect in 2014. The Congressional Budget Office projects that over the next 10 years, we'll spend another $1.6 trillion on this. So, yeah, it's probably over the first 12 or 15 years or so, we're probably looking at a couple of trillion dollars. And the strange thing is that we're spending more and more per person on these subsidies, but we're subsidizing fewer and fewer people.
Mm-hmm.
So we're, again, not doing a very good job of achieving the goals that the law set out to achieve.
Now, you say that, and people say, what's going on? Where'd the money go?
Well, you know, the money basically has gone to insurance companies. The strange way the ACA is structured is that the subsidies, the government payments to insurance companies, rise dollar for dollar with premiums. So the higher insurance companies raise their premiums, the more money they get from the federal government. So essentially, we are spending more taxpayer dollars, more federal money, subsidizing premiums that are going up as a result of federal policy.
So this is all one
chasing our own tails.
So this is a grand delusion. I mean, we're deluding ourselves into thinking we're actually helping people. But again, you know, this is almost like the same paradigm that we've done with the educational system. The government comes in, it subsidizes, and everybody says, "Oh, good, found money." And so then they start, raising their rent, and here it's being paid on the back of the taxpayers. This is ludicrous.
Yeah. It looks a lot like college tuition, where the federal government hands out these various loans, puts these kids into debt, and the higher the tuitions go, the more in loan money and tuitions that the colleges and universities collect. It's a similar thing that's going on with the ACA, where the higher the premiums go, the more money the government gives to insurance companies.
How do we get the government out of this? I mean, this is like, this is insane. This is ludicrous, Doug. I mean, that again, you get all these unintended consequences where central command is coming in and thinking they know what to do when they have a proven track record of waste and there's no management.
It is a big struggle. Again, when I say this, I don't mean this in a partisan sense. Obviously, the ACA was passed by the Democratic Party, but the Republican Party took office with the promise of doing something about it, and the reality is they really haven't. So it's really a case of bipartisan malpractice. But there are some good things on the horizon. The first thing is that the Trump administration has acted to give people more choices of plans. So you don't have to just buy the ACA compliant product.
Mm-hmm.
They've given employers, particularly small firms who have also struggled with these higher premiums, that many of these firms no longer cover their workers, they've given them some new options. They can, for example, create accounts for their employees that their employees can use to go out and buy insurance for themselves and their family. So we're seeing a move toward health insurance coverage that's more personal and more affordable and not necessarily tied to your job.
So right. Well, Doug, we got to go. Yeah, we've got to go to break. We've got more from Doug Badger after this. Stay with us, America. 15 minutes after the top of the hour right now. This is Bill Martinez. We are live.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA, or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped a million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body Brain and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Packages start at $39.99 a month with signed agreement. Restrictions apply. Speak to a representative for complete offer details. See Vivint.com for license details.
Homeowners, if you're looking for the best in home security and smart home technology at a price you can actually afford, we have great news. You can now get Vivint's award-winning smart home security systems starting at about a dollar a day. U.S. News and World Report has recognized Vivint as the top home security system of 2019, calling the Vivint system the best for a complete package of home security and automation, the best pro-installed home security system, and the best home security system with cameras. And right now, you can get Vivint's best home security and smart technology for about a dollar a day. Plus, get free professional installation. Protect your home and loved ones for as little as a dollar a day. Call right now for your home security consultation. 800-962-6082. 800-962-6082. That's 800-962-6082.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. They've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad.
I was so glad that I called A Place for Mom. My advisor really listened and was truly my partner in finding senior care for my dad. She went out of her way to get to know him as a person and was always there whenever I had a question.
The senior living advisors at A Place for Mom partner with thousands of families every month, listening and offering local knowledge and advice to help find the best senior living communities across the country. And it's a free service. Here's the number.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-359-3360.
There's a place for answers. A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-359-3360. That's 1-800-359-3360.
Lower taxes, less government, and self-reliance. They live here. Bill Martinez, live.
Hey, they live here, they need to be living in D.C. if we can get that concept across. Could you imagine how much further off, in a better sense, that America would be if that was the prevailing control element to our health care issues that we're dealing with. Doug Badger, former White House and U.S. Senate policy advisor, continues with us. Doug, you referenced this new report that just came out this week. You said 2 million more are uninsured, but it's interesting to look at that number of uninsured, and boy, it points to the middle class. They're getting pulverized over this, right?
Yeah, the reporting of this report by the Census Bureau that says the number of uninsured increased by 2 million next year was really, really atrocious. When you actually look at the report, what you find out is that entire increase is among middle-income people, not low-income people, middle-income people, individuals earning $35,000 or more. Families of four with $75,000 or more in income, they've lost coverage at an alarming rate. What happened? Well, in the first part of the segment, we talked about the fact that under the ACA, the higher the insurance company raises their premiums, the more money they collect from the government in terms of premium subsidies. The problem is there are an awful lot of us who don't qualify for those subsidies. And so when we start looking at these premiums of $6,000, $7,000, $8,000, sometimes $12,000 or $13,000 a year, what happens? A lot of us just can't or won't pay them.
Exactly.
We went in 2015 from 8 million people unsubsidized with individual health insurance policies. That number was cut in half by last year to fewer than 4 million.
Well, not surprised. I mean, you take away the penalty, and people say, okay, why bother anymore? And even the first year, initially, Doug, to be honest with you, I said, okay, I get penalized. $100, I'm going to pay the penalty because I've got my own health care program that I'm working out separate and apart from Obamacare. I'm going to exercise my free market right. But then as it, you know, the news started tightening, then fortunately I hit that magical age. I don't have to worry about it so much anymore. But, you know, we've got to release and unleash the free markets on this deal because it's too complicated. If we can go across party lines and we can let the, you know, let the insurance companies and the whole healthcare industry battle this out at the marketplace front where it should be, you know, these numbers will take care of themselves, I believe, because right now with all this government incentive, and we're incentivizing the wrong behavior, to your point, and it stays unresolved, and prices continue to go up, whether we're talking about pharmaceutical and our prescription prices, you know, the cost of health care today. Even George W. Bush, you know, went in and said, hey, can we talk tort reform? And they all but tarred and feathered him, you know, to get him out of there. They don't want to talk about tort, because this is all part and parcel of the big problem that has only gotten more complicated and partisan.
No, that's right. And Bill, when you look at costs, when we say why are health care costs so high, the reason is because we don't allow for markets to work. We don't allow for consumers to make decisions. We don't allow for a system centered on doctors and patients.
Yeah, how about just competition? Just basic competition,
well,
Doug.
That's right. And look, there are all sorts of great ideas out there that are starting to form. We have healthcare sharing ministries. Mm-hmm. We have direct primary care arrangements where you pay a doctor's practice directly. There's no insurance company involved. There's no government involved. You pay a monthly subscription, and you get your medical care. All kinds of great ideas that we're not letting come to market.
Mm-hmm. Well, we promote on our website Josh Umber, who you might be aware of. I think the last time I checked, he's probably 800 to 1,000 facilities across the country where the doctors are joining in. It's this concierge care kind of what you're talking about. And I'll say in a general context, okay, it varies from market to market, but around $50 per person, and you get to see a doctor as much as you want in a given month, okay, for basic services. We're not talking, you know, cancer. We're just talking just your basic checkups. Hey, I've got a cold, you know, minor things like that, which probably account for, you know, I'd say 85, 90% of our healthcare needs, right? Is that fair?
Yeah, and yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, obviously there are very, very expensive illnesses and so forth that crop up, but we're very fortunate that that is a relatively small number of people in any year. Mm-hmm. Fewer than 10% have major, major medical expenses. Right. You need insurance for that.
Well, Doug, and you bring up a good... And wait a minute, I'm sorry, I don't mean to cut you off here, but what comes to mind here, and you bring up a good point here, is that, you know, healthcare is a responsibility of all concerned, not to mention our government, again, with what they're doing, for example, in California. You know, we've been saying for quite a while that the state was ripe for a plague of epic proportions because of what the government there in the state has been irresponsibly, in my opinion, what they're responsible for, and it's a great lack of irresponsibility by allowing a mass number of people, of immigrants, to come in who, you know, they're not even being vetted according to the CDC properly, and so you bring them into the mix here of the state of California that's being pulverized by homelessness right now. You've got people pooping in the streets. You've got hypodermic needles lying out in the street. It is a recipe ripe for, you know, infection beyond comprehension here, and I say a plague of epic proportions, and the LA Times, what last week reported that medieval diseases are starting to crop up in California. Are you surprised? And so the government is contributing to the ill health, which is just going to add to health care costs in the state of California.
Yeah, it's happening not just in California, obviously. It's happening everywhere, and we need an intervention with Washington. We need to say, look, you guys are well intentioned, you're smart, you're doing the best you can, but you're really not good at running healthcare.
Right.
Consumers are pretty good at making decisions for themselves. Doctors and patients together can make some pretty good decisions. We need less federal intervention, not more.
Exactly.
And, of course, when we hear the debates among politicians, the issue is how much more should the federal government spend on health care? So I think we need to get this moving in the right direction.
Well, free people need to understand what freedom looks like, and they cannot continue to buy into these shining offerings by these would-be politicians that want to use the largesse of the people's treasury to buy votes.
Yeah, we definitely need to pull back on Washington control. We need to let innovation happen. We can use our smartphones to access our doctors at this point. We can do a lot of medicine remotely without having to go into a doctor's office or a hospital. People with medical devices that they wear can be monitored remotely by their doctors without going in. And what happens is Washington and sometimes the state, Sacramento, will put in place regulations that restrain this kind of innovation and restrain these market forces. We've got to go in the opposite direction. Turn people loose. Let people make decisions for themselves, and I think what will happen is you will watch healthcare costs.
Good God Almighty, set my people free, Doug Badger. That's what we got to do. We got to set the people free because they're big boys and girls, and they can handle this stuff because in so many other areas of their lives, they've been able to do so very effectively by comparison of our U.S. government. It's obvious where the competence lies. Doug Badger on Bill Martinez Live. Thank you, Doug.
People don't know they're missing the most important nutritional components in their diet. You know, if we really want to feel good and not miss work and get the most of each day, then we need the immune and growth factors in bovine colostrum. As a newborn, colostrum passes on immunity from our mother's lineage. It helps our body recognize when we're under attack and fights all those nasty microbes we're exposed to from birth. But the most important job colostrum does for newborns is to seal our GI tract. Unfortunately, it doesn't stay sealed. Leaky gut affects 8 out of 10 people, passing undigested food, germs, and toxins into our bloodstream. It happened to me and caused unbelievable trauma to my immune system and gut. Fortunately, Sovereign Laboratories Colostrum LD can help. Taken daily as part of a healthy lifestyle, Colostrum LD can help you feel good every day. I feel great on this product. To learn more, go to PreventLeakyGut.com. That's PreventLeakyGut.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The Emerald City is impeachment, and my colleagues are desperate to get there. They have been desperate since last November when they won the majority.
That's the ranking Republican on the U.S. House Judiciary Committee, which is now meeting on Capitol Hill to discuss impeachment proceedings against President Trump. Congressman Doug Collins says New York Democrat and chairman of the panel, Jerry Nadler, has called this unnecessary hearing, according to Collins, to keep impeachment in the headlines.
The difference between formal impeachment proceedings and what we're doing today is a world apart, no matter what the chairman just said.
Nadler says the investigation will consider allegations of obstruction of justice, self-dealing, and violations of the Emoluments Clause. The Labor Department says around 204,000 Americans filed first-time jobless claims last week, 15,000 fewer than the previous week's revised total. And this is USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
Are you tired of high cable TV rates? Sign up for Dish today and get a $500 bonus offer while supplies last. Plus, lock in your price for 2 years guaranteed. Call All American Dish, your Dish authorized retailer now.
800-610-5739. 800-610-5739. That's 800-610-5739. Offers require credit qualification, 24-month commitment. An early termination fee, Eddie Auto Pay. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. What more could you want? Bill Martinez live. Turn it up.
Brought to you by Network Capital Funding. They are a direct lending team, and they're serious about saving you money. And you can start saving money right away on your mortgage and high-interest credit card payments. As I say, they are a direct lending team, many cases turning this around in 15 days. I mean, they're awesome. Give them a call, 800-700-8068, 800-700-8068. They have all the details for you. Michael Volpe joins us now. Michael is an author. He's also an investigative reporter, and it's good to have him back. It's Michael, it's been too long. We need to have you on a semi-regular basis at least. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I will make sure to make that happen.
Yeah, let's do that. Go ahead.
Today what I wanted to talk about was the issue of prosecutorial misconduct. So it's based on an article I did for the Daily Caller, and primarily the case that I focused on in that particular article is John Juca, the murder of Mark Fisher, which is a very notorious case. However, there was not only prosecutorial misconduct in that case, but more prosecutorial misconduct by that prosecutor. And then hopefully we can talk about the larger issue of how often this sort of thing happens, which is, I think, the simplest way to describe it is when prosecutors cheat in order to get convictions, and as a result, many innocent men and women spend time in jail.
Exactly. Well, we've had Sidney Powell on with us many times. Her book, License to Lie, focuses like a bead, as you are talking about right now, on prosecutorial misconduct. And that seems to be the words for the day, whether we're talking about Donald Trump or, you know, even some seemingly insignificant cases. They're significant if it happens to be your case. But in the overall context, I mean, what it points to, Michael, here is there is some rather smelly misbehavior coming down, you know, through the court systems, and this is why people are yelling and screaming about it, because to me, you know, as you point this out, and as you will in just a moment, it seems like such a no-brainer. It's like, wait a minute, how can this be happening in the United States of America?
You know, the reason it's happening is because it's very easy for a prosecutor to cheat, number one. Number two, they are almost all judged by wins and losses. The prosecutor in the Juca case, her name is Anna Siga-Nicolazzi, and if that name sounds familiar, it's because she has a show on investigation discovery called True Conviction. Mm-hmm. Very ironic. She got that show because she was 35-0 as a prosecutor. Mm-hmm. She touts that all the time, and what we're learning is more than one of those cases, she cheated. It's easy to cheat, number one, and number two wins. It's that the Vince Lombardi quote. It's not the only. It's not the main thing. It's the only thing. And you really cannot have that attitude if you're a prosecutor. And one thing to note, Sidney Powell, in her defense of General Flynn, is arguing a Brady violation, and I'll go into that. That's the same thing in the Juker case. Mm-hmm. That is when prosecutors withhold evidence that will help you. It's called exculpatory, is the legal term.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But in the Juker case, or it's actually the Fisher case, Mark Fisher was murdered in 2003. He was a college student, Fairfield College in Connecticut. He wound up somewhere in Manhattan or New York. He got smitten with a girl, and they went to a couple bars, and then they wound up at like a makeshift party at John Juker's house, whose parents happened to be out of town. So, you know, he was a teenager, you know, doing bad while his parents were out of town. The party broke up at some point, and at about 6 in the morning, Fisher was murdered, but not at Juker's house, about a few blocks away. Juker was eventually convicted after several people either claimed that he helped give the actual murderer, the actual murderer was Antonio Russo. Either he gave him the gun or he took it afterwards. And one thing people should know, the witnesses didn't seem to have the same story. They were different, and he was still convicted. So it's really on the jury. But after the conviction, a lot of things have come out. Number one, there was juror misconduct. John's mother, Doreen Giuliano, thought he recorded one of the jurors saying that he wanted on the case, that he was actually friends with friends of John Juca, which meant if he had disclosed that, he wouldn't have been picked for the jury.
Right, exactly.
And that he thought John Juca was Jewish and he hated Jews, and he basically felt like it was his duty to get the Jew. This is all on audio recording. And that happened 4 years, 2005, not even 3 years after the conviction, and Juca still remained in jail. Because the judges just refused to throw out the conviction despite this clear juror misconduct. The prosecutorial misconduct, a lot of it was she was pressuring these witnesses. Most of them have since recanted, and in their recantations, they have said that I was told that you'll spend years in jail, that one testified because she threatened to screw with his custody. In another case, she gave a so-called witness, it was a jailhouse informant, his name is John Abito, she helped him with his own criminal case. Obviously, a jailhouse informant was in jail himself.
Mm-hmm.
And she also, the Brady violation, there's two. The less significant is that she withheld some of the help that she gave to Avito. For instance, Avito there was a warrant for his arrest because he absconded from a drug treatment program that he's supposed to be in as opposed to going to jail. So he should have been in this treatment program, and instead he just walked away. And as they're looking for him, he shows up in Nicolazzi's office, and then she actually went to his judge and talked to his judge to help him not go to jail, to give him another chance. She withheld that from the defense. So he looked, when he testified, like a much more credible witness than had the defense known this, and been able to question him about it. Now, that actually temporarily overturned the conviction, but if you can believe this, another appeals court in New York said, we think it's basically harmless, that, yeah, the jury could have known about this, but it wouldn't have changed their mind. So Juca remains in jail. It's 2019, 14 years later, even though nearly every single witness has recanted. We have this Brady violation jury misconduct. The latest, though, is that there's another audio recording of an interview that Nicolaggi did, and I know this because she identifies herself right at the beginning of the recording, mm-hmm. with another jailhouse informant who contradicted the murderer. The murderer claimed he gave the gun to Juca afterwards. What this jailhouse informant, his name is Joseph Ingram, and he, conveniently enough, is dead now. He said that what Russo told him was that he tried to give John the gun, and he wanted no part of it, that he did this on his own. John was not a part of it. And they withheld that recording until 2018.
Wow.
So now that's a part of it. And the other thing I found about Nicolaggi is this is a pattern. There are, I think, four or five cases that lawyers are looking at, and one of them is by a guy named Justin Bonas. And he is looking at a case in his Jermaine Cox. And one thing that Mr. Bonas told me repeatedly was Cox has maintained his innocence, and to him that was very important. She did a photo lineup with some witnesses, and they didn't identify Cox. Then Cox was part of a regular lineup, and suddenly they did identify him. And I'm sure she just forgot, but she must have forgotten to tell the defense that first they did this photo lineup. She didn't tell them about the photo lineup. So not only was the lineup tainted, but she forgot, I'm sure it was just forgetfulness,
right,
to mention the tainted lineup. And he got convicted because, again, the witness looked a lot more credible than if the defense attorney can say, well, didn't you first see a photo lineup that included Mr. Cox? Didn't you not identify him in that photo lineup? That shows you how powerful this, and that's that Brady violation, how powerful that is, how
right.
powerful it is to withhold this information. And she's also being investigated. She, as a pattern, one attorney told me, she will, in the closing argument, the summation, and the reason that's important is she goes last. So the last thing the jury hears is what the prosecutor says, and she will infer that the person is actually guilty of an even larger crime than whatever they're being charged with. So in the Juca case, she suggested he was actually the murderer, maybe, even though nobody suggested that. So she introduced facts that weren't in evidence.
And well, how can the judge allow that?
The judge can allow whatever, because that's how the judge feels. How can they allow it?
Oh.
Because they're violating the technical ends of the law, and because by allowing it, what happens to the judge?
Well, Michael, we got to go to break. More from Michael Volpe. Stay right where you are, right here.
This is sponsored by Facebook. Facebook is expanding its new local alert tool nationally by the end of the year. Local Alerts enables local governments and first responders to communicate urgent information when it directly affects people in their community or requires them to take action, such as road closures, blackouts, or natural disasters. Jimmy O'Keefe is the product marketing manager at Facebook.
When authorities mark posts as local alerts, Facebook greatly amplifies their reach so that people living in an affected community are more likely to see them. Facebook sends notifications to people living in the affected area and also shows that information on Today In, a new place on Facebook for local news, community information, and conversations between neighbors.
Over the past year, information officers from over 350 local governments have used local alerts in a range of everyday emergencies, including flash flood warnings, mandatory evacuations, and 911 outages. For more, visit facebook.com/help/publisher/local alerts.
Attention, this is a public notice from the Social Security Disability Helpline. If you're one of the millions of Americans who are disabled and unable to work, you may be eligible for disability benefits from Social Security. Receiving benefits is your right. If you suffer from physical or mental disability, whether you're applying for the first time or you've already been denied, we can help. We'll evaluate your situation and deal with Social Security on your behalf. Best of all, there's no fee until you receive your benefits. Remember, we only get paid if you win your case. There are many reasons and conditions that may make you eligible for disability benefits. Many of them you may not be aware of. So if you're disabled and unable to work, call now to get started with your free, no-obligation consultation.
800-368-0123. 800-368-0123. That's 800-368-0123.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
I'm Ben Utek. I played high school, college, and pro football, helping my team win the 2006 championship. It was an amazing day, but it can't compare to the joy I feel every day with my loving wife and 3 beautiful daughters. My football career ended after I suffered my 5th concussion. Did you know that over 1 million athletes suffer a concussion each year? That includes boys and girls, every age, every type and level of sport. It isn't always clear that a player has had a concussion, so parents, athletes, and coaches need to learn about concussion signs and symptoms. The American Academy of Neurology recommends athletes thought to have a concussion be immediately removed from play and not returned until assessed by a healthcare professional trained in concussion. This isn't just about sports. It's about your brain. When in doubt, sit it out. Learn more at aan.com/concussion. That's aan.com/concussion. A message from the American Academy of Neurology.
Values, faith, service. They still exist here. Bill Martinez, live.
Fresh and independent, just the way you like to hear from us every day, Monday through Friday, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. 14 minutes before the top of the hour, this portion of our show being brought to you by Sovereign Laboratories. These are the makers of Colostrum LD. You've heard me brag about them. I'll tell you, this is an incredible product. And I'll be honest with you, I was shocked to hear that 80% of people are walking around with a problem that Colostrum LD handles. I know when you hear leaky gut, you go, oh, leaky gut, but it does all kinds of havoc to our digestive system, our energy, every aspect of our metabolism, way of life. So check it out. Go to the website, BillMartinezLive.com. Click on their banner ad. Get back on the road to health and talk to them. They're the experts, and they will get you on that road to health that you want to be on. Michael Volpe continues with us, the author and investigative reporter. Michael, before the break, we were talking about the situation of John Juca. I mean, this is an incredible story, this young man. And as you were talking, as I said to you, this could be you or me. I mean, upper middle class family, okay, he utilized his parents' home, and this is what teenagers do, and, they do the Ferris Bueller kind of thing. And this guy gets he gets a life sentence. Is that what he gets for this?
Yeah, I think it's 25 years to life, so there is some probation possible. Though, no, that doesn't mean the judge would give it to him or the parole board would give it to him. And keep in mind, he maintains his innocence. Yeah. One of the ways you get parole is by saying you're sorry for what you did. You're convicted of the crime. He's maintaining his innocence. One other thing people should know about this particular case, it's the Brooklyn District Attorney's Office. the DA there for a long time. His name is Charles Hines. He's had, I think, 22 convictions overturned already. He was a very corrupt district attorney. Nicolazzi actually was taught by him in law school, and she worked for him for most of the time she was there. And so she was his star prosecutor. There was a cop, he's retired now, Louis Scarcella, who was a disgraced cop, and they are reviewing 70, the Brooklyn DA, 70 of the cases he brought with the same kind of police misconduct, that not the same, but similar to prosecutorial misconduct. And I believe one of the reasons that the Brooklyn DA is so adamant to keep Duke in jail is the can of worms that will open up with Nicolazzi already having Hines and Scarcella. It's like strike three and you're out. It's a big, huge mess, a big, huge can of worms. I think this is much bigger than the Juca case for the Brooklyn DA. They would have to review all of her cases, 35-0. And what if a significant majority of those cases were won in the same way? Then your star prosecutor was cheating. And I think they wouldn't have any time to do any actual cases. They'd have to be reviewing her cases the whole time.
This would almost bankrupt them. I mean, what kind of liability are we talking about here? I mean, here's a young man whose life has just been upended. 14 years he's been spending in jail. I mean, and imagine, you know, the horror of his parents, knowing that every night as they sleep at home in their very comfortable surroundings, their son is incarcerated. This just has to be devastating to these parents.
Okay, yeah, absolutely. And like I said, he's in my opinion, he's a pawn. It's not really about the Juca case. Look, that's tens of millions of dollars. I interviewed a while ago a guy named Jeff Deskowitz, spent 16 years in jail. And you can look him up. I think he got, on his Wikipedia, it's tens of millions of dollars. So that's the kind of money that John would get. But 35-0, do the math. What if you've got to multiply that by 10? 15. Now you're getting there. And so as I said,
all covered by the taxpayers, right, of Brooklyn,
correct,
of New York. Yeah.
Correct. But not only that, but the amount of investigation that you would have to redo on each of these cases, the amount of man hours that you're putting into refiguring out which of her cases are legitimate can't be used to prosecute new cases. I think it would upend the entire DA's office. And I think that's why they're so mad, and they are. They are so adamant at keeping this guy in jail, and I think that's why. As far as the larger issue of prosecutorial misconduct, as I said, this Brady violation is number one. Judge Alex Kaczynski, for whom Judge Kavanaugh once clerked, in a dissent, called Brady violations an epidemic. I've asked many criminal attorneys about this. Not all of them will use epidemic. A lot of them don't like that term.
Right.
None who has practiced for more than a couple of months has not had any experience with it. So and if you practice for a long enough time, you will experience some prosecutor cheating. As I said, Sidney Powell, that's the argument she's making on behalf of Michael Flynn. Now, look, she's the attorney and I'm the journalist. The argument is a little different than normal. They took a plea deal, and she said they didn't disclose information. The other thing is, she said there's a memo that says he's not a Russian asset or something like that. However, he pled guilty to obstruction of justice or lying. So one thing people need to understand, me and Bill talking on the radio, whether it's exculpatory is up to the viewer. In a court of law, it's whether or not a judge decides that's exculpatory.
Right.
Another case is Steve Avery, the making of a murderer. His attorney is Kathleen Zellner. If you're not familiar with her, she should be on every shortlist for best attorney in the country. She's exonerated, I believe, 20 people. If you exonerate two, you're a hero. 20.
Right. Wow.
Now, her argument is that she got some sort of a disc with a lot of documents on it. However, she keeps losing, and I believe the reason she keeps losing is the prosecutor said all of the documents are in other places that we've given to you. This was just put together. You know, you don't have the right to have it nice, neatly, and orderly. It's not like we were hiding documents. You have to go find them, but we gave them all to you. So those are two famous cases where Brady is. If we got time, I got a couple other ones.
Yeah, we've got about four and a half minutes. Go ahead.
All right, so Neshamia Weberman, that's very important because that's a Brooklyn DA case. It's an Orthodox Jew who's in jail for 103 years for rape. The only evidence was the alleged victim saying he did it. They have discovered notes from a therapist in which she suggested she had a reason to lie about this guy, Weberman. That's currently being appealed. That case was very important because Hines received a lot of criticism for not being strong enough on sexual assault in the Orthodox Jewish community. So if he hid this evidence in order to get a conviction, well, that speaks for itself.
Mm-hmm.
The other one is the Ruckey case, which is the one you had me on previously. And in that case, Sandra Grazini Ruckey was convicted because she hit her kids in spite of a court order from her ex-husband, who she said was violent. There is a police report that I discovered that was not introduced into evidence, and her daughter's names are Samantha. And then so her two daughters ran. She hid them for 2.5 years, and so this is what she was convicted of.
Right.
In the police report, when they were found, it says Samantha and Gianna came down and immediately told us they would not go back to their father. So can you imagine? And Gianna didn't testify. Can you imagine Samantha being put that police report in front of her and asked, what do you mean by this?
Right.
That would certainly create doubt. The other thing is the oldest son, his name is Nico, he testified. He said his father's never been violent. Well, I found therapist notes from a court-ordered therapist who was working with all of the kids in the months leading up to the two girls running, which is April 19, 2013. And part of the notes says Samantha was quite vocal and quite emotional, stating that her brother did not remember all the abuse and anger that they had witnessed in the home and that she suggested he was being in some way bought by their father because now he was going to get a car and their mother did not have a car. So it turns out Nico only started saying his father wasn't violent the minute his father bought him a car. Mm-hmm. And can you imagine this therapist's notes put in front of Nico, have him read it, even if he denies it, that brings in doubt.
Exactly.
That is just a microcosm of how these Brady violations affect trials. And she was convicted, six-time felon, partially because her son claimed he's never seen his father be violent. Jury didn't know. That all started after his father bought him a car.
Michael, you know, your work as an investigative reporter is so critical to the process, as you say, that the way the system is set up, it's incentivized, it's designed to promote cheating. You know, when you're looking at balls and strikes, you're looking at wins and losses, you know, is it any wonder that we find ourselves in this kind of condition? And there doesn't seem to be any relief in sight. It doesn't seem like, you know, that you have prosecutors or attorneys as a legal force saying, look, we've got a problem here in River City. You as an investigative reporter, a non-attorney, you're saying, hey, this thing smells to high heaven. But you have, in their minds, you have little standing. You're just somebody looking out to build up your name.
Right. Well, and also I have absolutely no standing in the court. It doesn't matter what you say. It doesn't matter what I say. It doesn't matter what your audience thinks.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that matters is what the judges think. And one other thing, far too many judges are former prosecutors, and they do not act like umpires. They act like they're in their old job. They are like second prosecutors.
Right.
That absolutely happened in the Juca case. There's a guy named Danny Chun who continues in just a haphazard manner to rule against John Juca. That, and I don't know if he wasn't the former prosecutor. There's the latest appeal was decided. The woman's name was Janet DeFiore. She was the judge, and she used to be a prosecutor in a neighboring area to Brooklyn. And so that's an example of it. There's all sorts of examples in the Ruckey case. In the Ruckey case, the presiding judge over Sandra Grazini Ruckey, her name is Karen Asphalt. In 2009, her ex-husband David Ruckey screamed uncontrollably and swore at 2 and 3-year-olds. That case came in front of Karen Asphalt, who dismissed it for a lack of probable cause, even though there was approximately 10 witnesses on the eve of trial.
Wow.
She should have been nowhere near Sandra Grazini Ruckey, and she was not only on her case, but there was actually 4 cases related to the girls going missing.
Mm.
She was on all 4 of them. She recently signed an order for a 50-year protective order for David Ruckey against someone.
We're out of time, and Michael, we look forward to having you back. Michael Volpe on Bill Martinez Live.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain, and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone, and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll-free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
With more people listening to